Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 2 of For the Record Program Number 717, Interview with Dave Gaubatz. And this program is to be recorded on June 13th of the year 2010. Once again, it is my pleasure and privilege to bring back to our airwaves Dave Gaubatz, the author, along with Paul Sperry, of Muslim Mafia. Dave, welcome back to our airwaves.
Thank you so much, Dave, and it's an honor to be on your show.
All righty. Well, we have been talking about the Muslim Brotherhood, an organization well known to the veteran listeners to the program. And by the way, if people are tuned in for one of the first times and are wondering about the Muslim Brotherhood or have been seduced by the rhetoric very widely disseminated that it's a civil rights organization and a moderate organization, go to the SpitfireList.com website, and there is not only abundant documentation of its historical fascist character, but also its profound intersection with other non-Islamic fascist organizations, such as the Italian fascist milieu, Nazis of the World War II period, so-called neo-Nazis, and others. That's a very long story. We haven't got time to really go into that here. Hopefully, those who heard Side 1 will be able to extrapolate from the Hamas Charter, which is straight Nazi ideology and essentially has nothing to do with Islam per se, and fill in the gap, so to speak. Back to CARE, Dave Gaubatz, again, along with Paul Sperry, the co-author of Muslim Mafia. Now, one of the things you point out is that CARE has represented itself as sort of the NAACP for American Muslims, and yet you have gone into some detail about CARE's actual betrayal, and am I correct in characterizing that betrayal as something of a financial scam?
I think that's exactly how the Muslim people that have came to us that have described CARE, that they have stole money from them, that they've committed fraud against them, and they do not care, per their own documents, of the civil rights of the individual Muslims, or as a Muslim society as a whole here in America. It is more for fundraising, per their documents, to obtain money, and then that money eventually has went to support organizations such as Hamas.
And there was one at one point you went into there was some sort of I don't know if it was exactly a scam or one individual who basically, ultimately, was forced out of CARE for having economically betrayed them, some of the people. I think you referred to him as a jailhouse lawyer, and he actually was involved with ostensible legal assistance to members of the American Muslim community, and that actually wound up betraying them financially.
If I heard the question right, we're talking about the individual betrayed himself as an attorney. Morris Days.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Morris Days was an individual who was not even an attorney, never been to law school, and that was proven and even acknowledged by CARE at the end. He, with CARE executive board members, had known that he was not an attorney, and he was accepting money at the CARE Virginia office in Herndon, accepting money from his innocent Muslim people who were going there for actually civil rights type cases and or immigration problems or whatever it may be, hoping that CARE would help them. In the end, they were just taking the money and then put the individuals, the Muslims who started complaining, they started being harassed by some of the CARE executive members. And Morris Days was not an attorney and never was, but represented himself in the United States to be an attorney, and CARE National represented him to be an attorney.
All righty. And you also talk in Muslim Mafia about CARE's deliberate exaggeration of the size of the American Muslim population. Discuss that if you would.
Yes. What we're talking about more so is that CARE represents itself to be like 35 chapters across the United States with hundreds of thousands of members. In actuality, they have approximately 5,300 members across the United States, 35 chapters approximately. It fluctuates every month or so. But most of those chapters are simply people with a cell phone at the end. But they look much bigger, and they say they represent the Muslim people, when in actuality, 5,000 or so people are members of CARE, and many of those are families and friends.
In Muslim Mafia, you describe CARE's actual misrepresentation of census figures concerning the American Muslim population. Can you go into that at further length for us?
Well, Paul Sperry has actually developed some of that information on the census and from some of the documentation, but there has been estimations of the Muslim population being anywhere from 2 million to possibly 8 million. But in actuality, CARE has no idea. CARE has said that there's many more, and they get to a lot of these from what they call the converts or reverts back to Islam, and they've been overinflated.
And something you talk about in Muslim Mafia, and it's not just CARE, but it is other Islamist organizations in the United States overlapped with the Muslim Brotherhood, and that is their advocacy or their drive, so to speak, to have the Muslim population of the United States placed under Sharia governance, in other words, exempted past a point from American law, and to basically sort of become a separate enclave or a separate population governed by Sharia law. Tell us about that, if you would.
Yes, we just need to look in further into United Kingdom and in Canada what is going on with Sharia law, the slow implementation of Sharia. They do want, and they have in their documents and in their papers and DVDs they put out, they have said Sharia law is not compatible with the U.S. Constitution and or the laws of the United States. And they have told the children, many of the children to Islamic centers and mosques, to not follow the U.S. Constitution, don't follow law enforcement, don't follow the rules of Congress, only follow Sharia law. They are trying to separate, as is the Taliban in Afghanistan and Pakistan, trying to separate man-made law from Islamic law, Sharia law.
One of the things that you talk about in Muslim Mafia, and this is perhaps exemplary of the direction of this, I guess one could say, Islamic exceptionalism, or I think that's a good term, but do you think it works, Islamic exceptionalism, for the application of Sharia to the American Muslim population?
Yes, they have. That is exactly what they're advocating, that they are. It's an exception that the Islam is should be almost exempted from man-made law, and that is what they are teaching in the ideology, is to separate the Muslim people from the Christians and the Jews.
Something that you go into, and perhaps as an example of what this might bode for the future, and you talk about how one of the things that CARE and other Muslim Brotherhood organizations advocate, and that is having imams, in other words, Muslim clerics, interceding between law enforcement and Muslim families or Muslim individuals who are the focal point of domestic violence cases. I wonder if you would go into that for us.
Yes, that is one aspect of Sharia law where they have tried to and started to implement in England and Canada is the domestic side of it. Not only in divorces, but with potential spousal abuse or child abuse, those are considered to be where they want the imams and Islamic scholars to be the ones who are notified first to try to handle it first internally before they would ever go to law enforcement. And it's not something that is not being done currently in the U.S. because they are doing this at some of the Islamic centers. They are telling the worshipers to first come to them and let the imams work some of these issues out, even when it involves abuse, domestic type abuse.
Let's talk about Bridges TV. One of the things that you talk about in Muslim Mafia is the establishment of Muslim Brotherhood media outlets or media functions. And one of those that you talk about is Bridges TV. Tell us about that, if you would.
Yes, organizations that also, behind the scenes, are advocating Sharia law and the Hamas, Al-Qaeda, Taliban type ideology. They're not advocating the peaceful, what most people would want to think of, that Islam is being taught, the peaceful aspects. But behind the scenes, like with Bridges TV, they are advocating exactly what Hamas is advocating.
One of the things you talk about in Muslim Mafia is, the gentleman's last name is Khan, I believe. I've forgotten his first name, but he is a Muslim of Pakistani origins. And again, Bridges TV ostensibly was to represent to bridge the cultural and intellectual gap between the Muslim and Western worlds. And in Muslim Mafia, you talk about its relationship with the Muslim Brotherhood. But Mr. Khan, hearkening back to our discussion of the application of Sharia or CARE's advocacy of the application of Sharia to domestic violence. Tell us about Mr. Khan and Bridges TV and the resolution of his marital difficulties.
Yes, that was another very unfortunate incident that possibly could have been prevented if law enforcement were currently looking at some of the materials been put out in the Islamic centers that could pertaining to domestic abuse and how the individuals are authorized currently. Under Sharia, even here in the United States, the materials are put out, I'm not talking about the Quran, to beat their wives, to discipline their children even severely for not following Sharia law. And ultimately, this led to the innocent death of his spouse. The simple thing has happened down at Fort Hood. That's exactly what was being advocated. It was no surprise when Major Hassan had killed many people down at Fort Hood, because we went to the Islamic centers, and this is being distributed to the even the innocent Muslim children.
Mr. Khan was having marital difficulties, and his wife was basically looking to divorce him, so he sawed off her head with a large hunting knife.
That
is disturbing, and I think that members of the audience, and that's the bulk of the audience, not all of it, but the bulk of it of liberal political persuasion, might want to think about that. And I would also note for those people who hear this program on the Pacifica Network, or on the Pacifica station in Los Angeles, that one of the stars of Bridges TV, and last I checked, her TV program was heavily advertised on Bridges TV, is none other than Amy Goodman, one of the stars of the Pacifica Network. I wonder what she thinks of her erstwhile colleague, the horseless headsman, so to speak. One of the tactics that you talk about in Muslim Mafia, Dave Gaubatz, and that is CARE's use of litigation and threatened litigation to intimidate, coerce, or sort of psych out people that with whom they disagree. Develop their litigious techniques, if you would, please.
Yes, Dave, that is something that numerous documents we got out of the 12,000 where they really, it's intimidation, harassment of small companies and the individuals who they've claimed to have alleged to committed some type of civil rights problem with a Muslim, is that they, just like with Nike, Burger King, Bank of America, the majority of these are exaggerated. We've got the documents, and they intimidate people with litigation because they know they don't have the most people don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars to spend on litigation. Most small companies don't, and people are looking at it. If Nike and Burger King and other large corporations have been rolling over and losing against CARE, then they unfortunately many times settle out of court without even going to trial because they don't want the public embarrassment, even if it's a false allegation, and they don't have the money to hundreds of thousands to spend. And CARE knows this, and they do talk about this behind the scenes, Nihad Hawad and Ibrahim Hooper, the CARE spokesperson.
One of the things that you point out in this context, Dave Gaubatz, is that they care gets financial backing from the extraordinarily wealthy Middle Eastern oil kingdom. So when it comes time for them to go to court, they've got the money that many of their possible opponents do not. Tell us about the economic support they get from the Middle Eastern oil producing kingdoms.
Yes, Abraham Hooper, the CARE spokesperson for CARE, had bragged to Chris and some of my researchers about the money that the hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we've seen it in the documents, that they get from Saudi Arabia. They have a whole list of attorneys and of money and funds to spend on lawsuits. They have many attorneys that will be representing CARE because they are getting hundreds of thousands of dollars out of Saudi Arabia and the UAE.
And you yourself were sued by CARE but wound up winning. Is that not true?
Yeah, that is true. Well, we knew. You don't go undercover inside the Muslim Brotherhood, inside CARE, for 6 months and then come out with a book and not have the expectation that you're going to be sued. We knew we were going to be sued, and that's what CARE did. The executive directors, they did, they played into our hands with that, because when they did that, they went to court and they said, these 12,000 documents, the first day they went, when the book was coming out, they said, these documents are ours. They belong to us. And they didn't mention that they were shredding the documents, but they've already authenticated the 12,000 documents under oath. They said, yes, they do belong to them. And we agree that these were in CARE National, but they were shredding them. And they did lose at least the first round, where the judge said it was a frivolous lawsuit.
So the grounds on which they sued were that it was a proprietary consideration, that they alleged that you didn't have any right to the documents. They weren't alleging slander, or they weren't alleging libel.
No. They actually did not. They said there was really nothing monetarily, and they never said that anything in the book, any of the documents, were not accurate. They have actually just said the opposite, that they are.
But that you didn't have any right to use them.
Right, exactly.
All righty. One of the very disturbing aspects, well, there are a lot of very disturbing aspects to Muslim Mafia, Dave Gaubatz, but you discuss CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood's use of traditional American civil liberties, and in particular, our guarantee of religious freedom, as a vehicle for not only the establishment of Sharia, but basically subverting the American way of life, at least up to a point. Develop that for us, if you would.
Yes, I do. They use a lot of the nonprofit organization. They use the laws of the United States, even with the IRS endorsed, to open up a lot of these nonprofit organizations so that they can funnel money, and they use the religion aspect of it so that they can get what they say is First Amendment, even if it's advocating to hurt innocent people. And they're using our own laws against us.
You mentioned, too, that CARE has been very successful in, now, at the very beginning of our interview, you discussed the fact that you encountered CARE people in connection with various investigations in Texas and elsewhere. You discussed CARE's relatively successful drive to have themselves as sort of intermediaries or interlocutors with law enforcement and even intelligence agencies vis-a-vis the Muslim community. Develop that for us, if you would.
Yes, CARE does have contact, and you mentioned Los Angeles in the first segment. CARE has many contacts throughout the United States in most major cities with law enforcement, and they have influenced law enforcement in what type of training they will get and even what kind of cases they will open up. And CARE and within law enforcement has really intimidated law enforcement to not go into Islamic centers without there is so much approval that has to be obtained by our street-level officers, even if they've got information that there's possibly going to be someone that's going to be hurt, that they have to go through so much before they can ever open an investigation. I was in Los Angeles less than 60 days ago. Sheriff Baca out of Los Angeles had endorsed CARE, and he said there were certain Islamic centers he had been to that were very peaceful. So I wanted facts only. I went to these five Islamic centers in Los Angeles less than 60 days ago, and they are distributing material, and again, not the Quran, that is calling to hurt innocent Christians, Jews, and Muslim people not abiding by Sharia law within these five currently in Los Angeles.
In Muslim Mafia, Dave Gobatz, you quote a law enforcement official, I believe off the top of my head, that it was actually an ex-FBI officer or ex-FBI special agent, who said basically, and I think I'm quoting verbatim, they've got our number. Do you think that is the case? Do you think they've got our number?
I think they have got our number. Yes, they have got they know how the system works within the United States. And the enemy, whether it be any terrorist organization, they always look for the weaknesses within who they consider to be the enemy. And they believe that they have figured everything out about the United States and how to destroy the United States and Israel and any country that supports or has supported Israel.
One of the things that you mentioned, too, in Muslim Mafia, you also indicate that CARE, in addition to misrepresenting the Muslim population of the United States, they actually misrepresent their own financial power and exaggerate that. Describe that, if you would.
Yes, CARE receives a lot of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars from foreign agencies, from foreign governments, which they do not publicly admit that they do, but behind the scenes they do, and there are some organizations and attorneys that are working to have CARE come forward about their foreign contacts and how much donations they actually get from overseas contributors, Saudi Arabia and UAE specifically.
All righty. And one of the things that you point out, there's a very interesting incident which it had a lot of publicity at the time. You, however, discussed in Muslim Mafia, you discussed the incident and gave some details about some of the individuals involved that I was not aware of. And I suspect not only most members of the audience, but most regular consumers of American media are not aware of. And that is the incident of the Flying Imams. Tell us about the Flying Imams, how it was represented, and what the reality is.
The reality is, I'll start with that first, is the six Imams case where they went aboard one of the major airlines and began to pray, and then they were apprehended or detained by U.S. law enforcement, is it was over-exaggerated. I have called it even recently a hoax. It was something that the individuals involved in and with CARE knew that it was going to really intimidate potential witnesses in the future from coming forward to make any type of allegation because they were fearful of being involved in a lawsuit. And that's what CARE had started out with, and that's what the six Imams wanted to have happen with the people. Intimidate, which is terrorism against people, to ever come forward in America with information involving terrorism, potential terrorism.
And you mentioned that some of the individuals involved actually had some at least tangential links to terrorist milieu, plural.
Yes, many of the individuals, and we've been to their Islamic centers and mosques, and they are putting out material that is Muslim Brotherhood. And we described it. We had came up with the Muslim Mafia because it's an organized crime unit.
One of the things that you talk about in Muslim Mafia is the establishment of what, at least up to a point, might be viewed as a fledgling Muslim or Muslim Brotherhood parallel state in the United States, something with rough analogs to the various organs of American society. I wonder if you'd describe that for us.
Yeah, the basic overall objective within the Islam that's advocated by Al-Qaeda and Hamas and Hezbollah and the groups is an Islamic Ummah nation worldwide under strict Sharia law. And there has been materials we've obtained where they want to implement this in the United States. Many of the individuals that Ismael Royer and some of the other people convicted, another individual highly praised by CARE is an individual, Ali Al-Tamimi, who was sentenced to life plus 80 years for advocating terrorism, is exactly that point, is to implement an Islamic nation in America under Sharia law, exactly what the Taliban is advocating.
One of the things that you point out, too, deviating slightly from CARE per se, but the Islamic Society of North America, ISNA, a Muslim Brotherhood organization very closely allied with CARE, and they, I think it was in the 60s, they purchased a huge amount of land way out in Illinois and have established an almost fortress-like headquarters there. Detail that for us, if you would.
Yes, ISNA, and I mentioned this in the first segment. When I'm talking about the Muslim Brotherhood, I'm talking about the different acronyms. Listeners should not get so confused and wrapped up in the Hamas, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, ISNA, MAS, MSA, and CARE. Don't get so wrapped up in the different acronyms, because the ISNA is also part of the Muslim Brotherhood. Per the documents, they got a very close relationship with CARE and the Holy Land Foundation, and Imam Siraj Wahaj, who would mention in the first segment, advocating exactly the same type of ideology of violence against innocent people.
Dave, we've got just about 2 minutes left, perhaps not enough time to do what we should, but invariably the charge that you are an anti-Muslim bigot will be leveled against you. How would you respond to that?
I would say I've served my country for over 24 years, active and federal service, had the highest clearances that our government provides. I love the Muslim people. I owe my life to a Muslim family in Iraq from 2003 when I was there. But what is being taught currently at the majority of the Islamic centers is not peace. I would like to say that that is what we found, but it is not. And I'm not using the Quran. The Islamic leaders in the United States and many of the mosques throughout the world are asking that innocent people, the Christians, Jews, and Muslims not abiding by Sharia, to be hurt. I care for the Muslim people, and I think the American troops in Iraq and Afghanistan and what we have done have helped the Muslim people more than CARE or ISNA ever has.
All
My
right.
best friend and many of our researchers on our team were Muslims.
Dave, we've got a minute left in the broadcast. Are there any sort of last words or any concluding statement you'd like to make for the audience?
Yes, I would. I would ask that the Muslim community needs to start coming forward. There are many rifka bearers, like the 17-year-old who was essentially threatened with the death penalty because she converted to Christianity from Islam. There are many rifka bearers in the United States. They need to start coming forward and bringing forth what is really being taught behind the scenes of many of the Islamic centers by imams like Siraj Wahaj out of Brooklyn, New York.
All righty. Dave, we'll edit this little prompt by me out, but if you could give in Arabic some sort of little greeting or concluding greeting or blessing or whatever in Arabic, it'll be a very powerful conclusion.
Yes, I would say assalamu alaikum, and may peace be upon you. And I mean that for all people, all religions, all cultures, because the children are the victims, always the victims of wars and terrorism, and we need to do this. We need to bring forth the allegations against CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood to protect the children and the children's futures of all countries.
All righty. We have been visiting with Dave Gaubatz, along with Paul Sperry, the author of Muslim Mafia, about CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood. Dave, thanks so much for appearing on our airwaves. And this concludes Side 2 of For the Record program number 717, interview with Dave Gaubatz, being recorded on June 13th of the year 2010. For Dave Gaubatz, this is Dave Emery saying thanks for listening.